FM WCQM, Park Falls, Wisconsin. The Park Falls Community Broadcasting Corporation. 98Q
Country. Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. More than 600 people are dead, at least 300 injured from a powerful earthquake that struck in Morocco's Atlas Mountains late last night. The BBC's Abigail Morslin has more.
The epicenter of the earthquake was in the Atlas Mountains, where many settlements are remote and hard to access. The nearest major city was Marrakesh, where frightened people rushed outside as the quake struck. Residents told the Reuters news agency that some buildings had collapsed in the city, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Video posted on social media shows buildings shaking, piles of rubble on the streets, and people walking through clouds of dust. Hospitals in Marrakesh are reported to be treating many of those injured.
Casualty figures are expected to rise as the search continues, especially in more remote areas. A special grand jury investigating efforts to overturn Georgia's 2020 presidential election results recommended indictments against a much larger list, including U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham.
We can't criminalize senators doing their job when they have a constitutional requirement to fulfill.
Senator Graham was interviewed on WYFF-TV. Tensions are high after the United Auto Workers Union rejected wage and benefit offers from all three Detroit automakers. Rhonda Rockstra reports it happens just days before a strike deadline for 146,000 workers.
Union President Sean Fain told workers he filed proposals from Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis into a wastebasket, adding the companies have yet to offer a fair contract. Automakers say they're bargaining in good faith and want a contract that secures the future for workers and the companies. Negotiations are continuing through the weekend, but Fain warned if they're not agreements by 11:59 p.m. Thursday, there will be strikes against all three companies. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tagoka here, and I want to talk to you for a minute about 100% drug-free Relief Factor. I've been taking Relief Factor for years now to help me deal with pain in my body. My wife takes it as well. The reason we tell everyone we know about it is simple. We found it really works to help our bodies fight off the inflammation that causes aches and pains. Whether it's the pain of injuries you've sustained or just the natural pains from the mileage over the years, Relief Factor can help. I've never looked back. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it works for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Feel the difference.
The remaining members of the Pac-12 are resorting to legal action in efforts to salvage the crumbling conference.
Oregon State and Washington State have filed a complaint in Washington State Court against the Pac-12 and Commissioner George Kliavkov. It seeks a court order preventing 10 departing members from standing in the way of the two schools' efforts to rebuild the conference. The Pac-12 currently has 12 members, but 10 of them are leaving next year. Southern California, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon are leaving for the Big Ten. Stanford and Cal are leaving for the ACC, and Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah are leaving for the Big 12. I'm Geffen Kuhlbaum.
The remains of two people who died in the 9/11 attack at the World Trade Center have been identified. Authorities confirmed the identification of the remains of a man and woman. It comes just days ahead of the 22nd anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Even if you just did it, you'd better update your Apple iPhone again, Ben Thomas explains.
Apple has released a new security update for iPhones and iPads described as significant. It's to patch newly discovered vulnerabilities in the system's software. Researchers at the University of Toronto's Citizen Lab found them. They say the software flaw is being actively exploited to deliver commercial spyware called Pegasus, developed and sold by the Israeli company NSO Group. Pegasus is typically used to target dissidents, journalists, and political opponents, so ordinary users likely have little to fear.
That is Ben Thomas reporting. New Mexico's governor has issued a 30-day emergency public health order temporarily suspending the right to carry firearms in the Albuquerque area. It comes in response to a spate of gun violence. Governor Michelle Lujan says she was compelled to act after several recent deaths. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Partly cloudy today with daytime highs approaching 72. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tonight, lows level off around 51. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 62. Low 60s Monday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Turning cooler Tuesday with highs in the upper 50s. Chance for showers continues. Another look at the short range. High of 72 today. Lows level off around 51 tonight. We should top off around 62 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 41.
From the Eau Claire Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right. Welcome to the show. My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in on the network on this radio station right here by downloading the podcast at sportingjournalradio.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, or maybe subscribing to our YouTube channel. Thank you very much. Dan Amundson is with us as always. What's up, Dan?
What's up? I don't know what to say. I had something planned, but you didn't set it up right. So we'll save that for another week.
Dan Amundson right over there. How you doing, Dan?
I'm greater than the sun.
Okay. Well, you got to tell me you need a little setup sometimes.
It's not as good if it's not organic. It's got to come up organic.
All right, David, how would you like me to introduce you?
Just a normal way, I guess.
Well, if you'd actually done it the normal way, it would have been organic.
Well, I'm trying not to do the same thing every time. It's got to change it up every once in a while, Dan.
Don't.
Keep you on your toes.
All right. David Eckhart, what's happening?
Not too much.
All right. Very nice. You did some deer hunting, bow hunting in the Dakotas. We're going to ask you how that went coming up. We'll talk about our dove opener experience, also our Minnesota early teal opener. If you got out for geese or teal or doves, we'd love to see the pictures. Share them, comment below, or put them on our social media pages. We'd appreciate it. Or just tell us what you think about the seasons. If it was too hot, if you don't like early teal, if you like early teal, we'd like to hear your opinions on that. Comment below on that. We also have Greg Hoke with us. So a couple weeks ago, or last week, I don't even remember what show it was now, we talked about a viral video going around on social media about a guy on a WMA and not happy with the fact that there was cattle grazing on it, new cattle fencing up around it. So we wanted to get to the bottom and figure out what is the emergency hang and grazing and conservation grazing? What happens in Minnesota? So Greg Hoke is going to join us. He's the Prairie Habitat Supervisor with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. He'll break down that, and we'll talk about prairie chickens and timber doodles and some other birds around Minnesota coming up with Greg. In just a little bit, also Joe Henry will give us the latest from Lake of the Woods. But first, Dan, who are the sponsors? Are you ready?
Live Target. Just shut up. Live Target. Match the hatch at livetargetlures.com this summer. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the Walla Capital. Plan a trip for this fall, summer, or winter.
It's September, Dan.
It's still summer. Plan a trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort at Devil's Lake. Book a trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. HaybaleHeights.com. Ottertail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at OttertailLakesCountry.com. And Prairie Sportsman. We have a new season coming up this winter. Watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
Some really cool stuff coming up for Prairie Sportsman. In fact, we're going to be filming a fishing event in October down on the Mississippi River. Sometimes I feel like Southeast Minnesota isn't a part of Minnesota, it seems like, or at least for us where we are. You don't hear about things down there as often. It's a beautiful part of the state. Hunting obviously is very good, and fishing on the river is really good. And there's a big bass tournament. Normally takes place, what, in June?
May. Early May. Yeah, it's like the week before inland fishing opener. But not this year.
Yeah, it was flooded.
Yeah,
this year
they canceled it because of high water, which probably is a smart move. I wouldn't want it. I was not looking forward to being on the river in flood conditions. I know there were some other tournaments, I think, held a little further down river that weekend that went on without a hitch, but I think smart move to move it to fall. And it's going to be gorgeous down there now this time of year.
Oh, yeah. I honestly can't wait. But it is a fundraiser for St. Jude's. So we are going to be telling you more about that in the next couple of weeks, not only on this show, but we'll be filming it for Prairie Sportsman coming up during the new season starting in January. I nominated for some more Emmys this year. Pioneer PBS nominated for 22 Upper Midwest Emmy Awards for the shows Compass, Postcards, and your favorite outdoor show, Prairie Sportsman. Also my favorite. I'm a little biased, though. That's right. David, it was 1 billion degrees while we were out there dove and teal hunting this weekend. You were sitting in a tree stand or a...
Crawling through a bean field.
Oh, I did see that. You did send one snap. So you were actually crawling through the bean field.
Yeah, that's where all the deer wanted to be.
How'd that go?
I got real close. I had 4 different pretty nice bucks, all at different points under 60 yards. A couple probably under 20, but just didn't make it happen. But I was shaking.
Man, well, that's a problem. Like, I understand how you could crawl enough through a bean field to get close to deer out there. But trying to draw back a bow and not get busted without some sort of way to cover yourself up. Because I'd assume once you popped up and drew your bow back, you probably bumped them if you got to that far anyway.
Yeah, I crawled in on some and some were just feeding. So they'd put their head down. So there would have been an opportunity to draw back while their head was down, just... the way the land was set up, the contours, and...
Oh, you could have got on them.
Yeah, but it just... they were walking away from me or would get out too far before I had a chance to draw back. The last one got spooked by a truck on the road, so...
What nerve of that truck guy driving that truck?
How dare that guy do his job?
You know? Don't you see me crawling through this bean field? I started 3 hours ago.
Yeah.
I made it 50 yards. Have you ever done that before?
Not in a bean field like that, no.
I've always wanted to do the cornfield walk, standing corn on a real windy day with my bow. Have you ever done that before?
I've never done it. I've always wanted to, just like you, but it just never has worked out for me.
Yeah. I had one time where it was a perfect setup. There was a nice buck, and I could see him walking on, you know, the upwind side of the cornfield. And I was like, oh, I could easily sneak in there and sneak in on him, but... I had some place to be.
I do regret taking the knee pads out of my pants, though. Man, my knees were sore for like 2 days.
So many jokes.
We dove hunted on Friday, and we were set up on the edge of standing corn. So we were sitting in the standing corn looking over a part that had been dug already. And I parked the truck, and as I was on my way back, it was legal shooting time. And some doves were already coming in. Dan and Wade were out there hunting, and some doves were already coming in. So I ducked down on the edge of the corn real quick, right into these tiny little, they're like sand burrs almost, these tiny little burrs, like 10 of them, right on my kneecap, immediately just like center punched my knee with these burrs. And then all day I was just picking them off my legs for the rest of the day.
Those are the worst.
But dove hunting wasn't terrible, Dan. You got to shoot a couple doves out there.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
It was easy. That's what I love about dove hunting. You can make it so easy, and you can sit there in shorts and a tank top if you want. I didn't. I sat there in pants and a t-shirt or whatever. We just sat in some sand and corn and whacked some doves, missed some doves, ate some doves, and it was easy. We woke up, I don't know, 5:30. We were in the field by 5:45.
That's great.
We had such a long drive. We were shooting birds by 6:30, whatever. So it was a great time. I love it because you can just sit there and talk to whoever you're with and not have to be super camoed, super quiet, and just hang out. You shoot some birds, great. If you don't, whatever. Who cares? They're doves. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. And I didn't care if we shot, you know, a full limit, obviously. I just wanted to shoot some to put on the grill, get the shotgun warmed up, get Tiny some retrieves. And get you guys shooting some birds. Get your brother your dad shooting some birds. I know, we do that all the time. But the best part, I think, about that teal hunt, Dan, is we weren't far from an area the best part of that dove hunt is we were near an area where we might teal hunt, but hadn't scouted too much. And as we were sitting there watching doves, like, oh, there's a flock of teal. Oh, there's another flock of teal. Maybe we should teal hunt tomorrow. So that's what we did. And... It There's more ducks around than I was expecting there to be.
You know, it seems with ducks in a slough, that's always how it is, right? You'll scout it like, there's like 30 in there. And then you show up the next morning and you're like, whoa, there's 200 all of a sudden in the decoys in the morning. So you almost kind of count for that. But yeah, we saw a lot of ducks. And, you know, the teal season, you can't shoot. And we talked about this in our latest Fish Hunt Forever YouTube video. It's out now. But teal season, right, you can't shoot till sunrise. And we got there a half hour before. So we got a great show and a lot of ducks. We could have shot a lot of ducks. We might have had a nice quick limit if we could have shot right at sunrise or a half hour before. But waiting till sunrise, we got a quick show. And then, like teal, flight was kind of over. So we picked away at a few and shot a lot of ducks, but not what it could have been. But there were a ton of birds back there.
Yeah, it was wild. And we wanted to be out there before the half hour before, because we knew teal get into the spread early. So we wanted to try to be in there in case, you know, they'd still be in there when legal shooting time came. And water swatting, no matter how you look at water swatting, it's a lot more acceptable these days, excuse me, than it used to be. And particularly during the early teal season, when identification is so important that a lot of times we'll let the teal land or let them swim into the decoys, because that happens too. But
are you okay over there?
Excuse me. Recording this at lunchtime is probably a bad idea. So we shoot some of the birds on the water or let them get in and then jump them and shoot them off the water as they get up, whatever the case may be. So we wanted to get in there early, and I went and parked the truck, and you two were in the blind already. And as I was walking up to the blind, I could hear
the band. You two, the band was in the blind?
The band was in the blind, yes. Yeah. I was walking up, and I could hear teal in the decoys. So I was like, well, I don't want to walk into the blind and bust these birds out so these guys can shoot them. So I was sitting there waiting, and all of a sudden, like, another flock of birds showed up and landed. And then all of a sudden, it was about 15 minutes to go before legal shooting time, and I heard just a heavy, heavy barrage from, I don't know, a mile or two south of us. And I was like, huh, it's not legal shooting time for ducks yet. They could have been shooting geese. They could have been shooting doves. But right after that, a flock of about 40 teal showed up. So maybe they're related, maybe not. But I didn't get to see them. Dan, you got to see them. I just heard it. And the first thing I heard was the air. Like the air of a 40-plus strong group of teal flying. You hear them cut the air when they come over. And they were so low to the water, I couldn't see them over the cattails. And I heard them come through, and then you hear the splashdown and the wings as they land. It sounded cool. How did it look?
So cool. You know, like, what do you want me to
say? I didn't know if you were going to expand on that.
Well, I was, and then you just started to laugh. Well, go ahead. So, anyways, if I can continue.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say.
It was so cool.
Cool story, bro. Cool.
Who's that guy?
I don't know.
It was good, though. We had a fun time out there, and then we did just throw the doves and the teal on the grill. And I had a really nice meal, and we did film it for the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel. So if you want to see our early Minnesota teal opener vlog video, go to the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel to watch that right now. And David, that night, I think it was Sunday night or Monday night, I don't remember, some point over the weekend, all of a sudden my trail cameras started going off. I'm like, oh, that's a new buck. That's a new buck. Well, that's a bigger buck than I've seen. And I don't know if it was all the activity, like all the teal hunters going into the sloughs or the dove hunters going into the fields. I don't know if that got the deer moving around, because, I mean, it was 100 degrees. You wouldn't think there'd be a ton of movement.
Right.
I know it's September, so the bucks are going to start to move a little bit anyway, but I think it had to be a lot of that hunter activity kind of pushing them out of their home areas.
I don't know, because I had the same thing. I had deer in my food plots all night, and they're starting to drop velvet, and the last night that I had a lot of deer, a lot of bigger bucks, the bucks I've been watching, and they were sparring. You could see them.
Oh, cool.
Kind of sparring. I'm excited to go pull that card and look at the videos just to see if they were just touching horns or if they were actually kind of fighting a little bit or what's going on there. But I suppose it's getting to be that time of year where they're trying to figure out who's the strongest and
yeah,
who needs to go find a new area.
I mean, I guess we are talking about the first week of September.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, things are probably starting to happen. It's the best time of the year, man. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like it out there yet, but things things are definitely starting to happen right now. All right, so fishing is going to start getting better. Hunting, obviously, is here. We're going to talk about both of these things. Coming up, Greg Hoke is the Prairie Habitat Supervisor with the DNR. We got Greg on the way. We'll talk about emergency hanging, grazing, and some other information about prairie chickens and sharptails and woodcock and more. And Joe Henry's got a Lake of the Woods report all coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And ICAST and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target. Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for watching or listening to the show wherever you are right now. Our guest is Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. It's whispering Joe Henry a little bit there almost. I know you're out and about conducting some business right now on location. What's going on up at Lake of the Woods right now, Joe?
Well, tell you what, it's transition time. You know, it's September, and you know we've had such warm weather that everything is still kind of in that summer mode. So I just did the fishing report, bringing lots of nice coolers of walleyes in. We're getting some big walleyes, but I'll tell you what, it's still that summer mode, and it's pulling spinners, it's pulling crankbaits. Fishing's been good overall, but boy, I tell you, you still got to find those fish, and once you find them, it's never a slam dunk. You still got to make them bite, and you know, that's kind of, you dial in your spinner colors, you dial in your speed, you figure out what's colored crankbaits, and then you move. You know, if you're on fish and those fish aren't rolling, you got to make a decision at some point in time. Let's go fish another school of fish that might be more active. And, you know, if you're a little bit versatile like that and do that, it's a win. I should tell you, we were fishing, recently I was up there on a charter boat, and we were fishing a big flat, and there was other boats with us, and we were drifting this big, big flat, and those fish were scattered, and we were just drifting spinners, you know, and we pick one here, we pick one there, and well, I tell you what, by the time you put in a few drifts, your cooler's looking pretty darn healthy, but it wasn't a slam dunk. It wasn't like whack, whack, whack. It was like, ooh, we got one now, and, you know, 10 minutes later, somebody else will catch one, and 15 minutes later, somebody else will catch one, but then you just start filling the cooler, and when those fish kind of let up a little bit, it wasn't that great. We decided, hey, let's go jumping around to a few different spots. So we went rock hopping. We went to some different structure. And boy, one of the spots we stopped, geez, we got a smallmouth bass. We got a couple jumbo perch. You know, we got a nice walleye and a nice auger. And then there wasn't much there. We go to the next rock. And boom, we catch three more fish. I mean, it's just, we're kind of putting together a day. And I think that's what you need to do.
So I know everybody's just anxiously awaiting the fall shiner run. That hasn't started yet?
No, but I'll tell you, you know, and so right now we still kind of saw the summer weather, but you got to remember, part of that whole transition is water temperature, but the other part of that is length of day. So our day is, that's consistent, right? The length of day is consistent. We know that's getting shorter. It's just the water temp that, and now with our, with looking at the temperatures in the forecast, it's going to start getting chillier. So, you know, everything's going to start kicking in. What happens a lot of times is mid-September is when all of a sudden you hear, oh, so-and-so is fishing the river, and they whack them. And, oh, yeah, somebody got some shiners off the end of their dock and their nets this week, and it'll all start. And when a lot of times when it starts, it's like, oh, darn it, I should have fished the river last week, you know. But it will be happening in the very near future. It does every year. It does every year. And the cool thing about it is, you know, I just fished the river. There's already fish in the river, and it's only going to get better. You know, Mother Nature, Mother Nature is very complex, and you know, those fish have typical movements, typical patterns. But when we say typical, you know, there's things that aren't typical. Last year, we had a record-breaking flooding in the area, and more water got pushed through that lake than has in almost history. That wasn't typical. So how is the lake bouncing back from that? Is there more forage that got pushed north? We feel like our basin's starting to get better fishing, you know, over the last year. That's not typical. Things are always changing, right? We had really low water this year as a rule compared to last year was record-breaking high water. Every year is different, and you just have to kind of roll the punches knowing that those traditions are there for a reason. Those traditions are there because they've happened year after year after year. How strong will the shiners run? How strong will the run of walleyes be chasing them up that river this year? Time will tell.
So, and we can talk more about this in the next couple of weeks, but when those fish start running in the river, are you going out there with a jig and a minnow? Is that going to be your first approach?
For myself personally, my first approach, if the water's warm enough, I might still pull a spinner, or I might pull a crankbait to find those fish. Now, if I know where those fish are, if I'm marking those fish on my electronics, you know, pretty readily, with a lot of hooks, well, then I am going to start jigging them. You know, when that water starts getting chillier, that jig bite starts kicking in pretty darn good. And that's the main way most people are catching walleyes on the Rainy River in the fall is jigging. But I'll tell you what, don't ever us underestimate the power of trolling a crankbait. Brett, you and I have pulled cranks in the spring of the year in that cold water. Mm-hmm. And you think about it. People say, well, gosh, is it too cold of water to pull crankbaits? I don't think it's ever too cold of water. You think about it. I mean, fish are always eating minnows. You just adjust your speed. You adjust the size of your crank. But if I'm struggling jigging because I'm not finding fish, those fish are spread out, no problem, put on a crankbait.
Well, that's just it. You're just covering more and more water. All right. Well, it's that time of year that some cast and blast opportunities are starting to happen up at Lake of the Woods. We're going to talk more about those opportunities next week with Joe Henry. And if they want to plan a trip for this fall to Lake of the Woods, what should they do?
Fishing's typically really good, both lake and river, you guys. And hey, check out our website. That is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. 52 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties, all in the palm of your hand. OnX Hunt, the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Did you know there are more than 1,000 lakes in Otter Tail County?
Yep, and I'm going to fish as many as I can. I'm an outdoorsy otter. Nothing beats a full day of fishing for me. The lakes of Otter Tail County give me plenty of options to lower my boat and snag the perfect catch. Not an outdoorsy otter? No problem. Otter Tail County has something for everyone. You just need to find your inner otter.
To find your inner otter, go to OtterTailLakesCountry.com. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed Ultra Point Mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Partly cloudy today with daytime highs approaching 72. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tonight, lows level off around 51. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 62. Low 60s Monday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Turning cooler Tuesday with highs in the upper 50s. Chance for showers continues. Another look at the short range. High of 72 today. Lows level off around 51 tonight. We should top off around 62 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 42.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network by demand, sportingjournalradio.com. Or maybe you're watching this on YouTube. Thank you very much. Please like and share this with your friends and comment below if you have a comment or a question about a topic that we're talking about. Because that's how we do things around here a lot of times is we want to bring up topics that our listeners care about. So what, last week or whatever it was, 2 weeks ago, we had somebody brought up a video that was going around on social media. And it was somebody that was on a WMA and it was had new cattle fencing up around it. They had cattle on it that were grazing. And he was upset because, hey, we're paying for this public land to go hunting on. What the heck is going on here? And we made the comment that that happens a lot. You know, there's some grazing opportunities out there for farmers and ranchers on some public land. There are some emergency haying operations that take place. And then we had a couple comments about people saying we weren't experts on the matter. And no, and I'll,
we're not.
Yeah, exactly. We're just hunters kind of talking about it. And obviously we've known about emergency haying and grazing for a while. And he's like, that's not emergency grazing, man. You got, it's just perfect internet. Like the way the internet works now, if somebody thinks you're an idiot, they have no problem telling you hiding behind a keyboard. So anyway, I thought, well, let's, you know what? Fine. We'll get an expert on and we'll break this down a little bit and find out what's going on out there when it comes to hanging grazing on some public lands, also in some CRP and wherever Greg Hoke's wheelhouse is, we'll find out. And he is the Prairie Habitat Supervisor with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Greg, I'm not trying to put you on the spot at all, Greg. I just want to kind of clarify a few things out there. So I appreciate you coming on the show with us this week.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, you bet. You're also author of four books that we'll talk about, and we're going to get into some bird talk too with when it comes to prairie chickens and woodcock and some of the, and even we could talk waterfowl too with wood ducks. It's a subject of a few of your books out there, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But if you can break down, you know, when people throw around the term emergency haying and grazing, What does that mean for people that maybe aren't experts like ourselves? What does that mean exactly?
So generally when we talk about emergency grazing or haying, and it's usually haying, it's usually in a drought situation. So for instance, in 2021, when we had the really serious drought, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture set up weekly meetings with a bunch of federal, state agencies, grazing organizations, et cetera, just so that we could kind of plan and coordinate who's doing what, where the need was, how we could collectively, among all the agencies, state and federal, shuffle resources. Generally, most of the, when you talk about emergency haying and grazing, is quite often more focused on things like conservation reserve program fields, to a much lesser extent, public lands like wildlife management areas. However, there are opportunities created by things like this. That sounds kind of negative, but try to make the best of a situation. So for instance, there are a number of areas. We've been in a wet cycle for quite a few years. It's so wet in the spring that we can't get fire into a lot of places with our prescribed fire program, can't get equipment in there to manage. However, with that drought, a lot of our wetlands dried up, and the science shows that's actually good for wetlands in the long run. We were able to get some haying in there, get some basic disturbances onto acres that had seen very little management for quite a few years. And I do want to emphasize that our public lands in Minnesota are in no way, shape, or form a pressure valve for anybody, ranchers, etc. We made the offer, if ranchers wanted to contact their local area wildlife manager and have a discussion, if that manager had some land that he or she wanted to have hayed to help meet a specific management objective, then they started working together. However, there was no mandate or anything like that that thou shalt allow grazing or haying on the WMAs in your work area. It was still totally up to the area manager, and it was only allowed, just like our regular haying and grazing, only allowed if it helped the DNR and DNR staff meet specific management objectives for our habitat and wildlife.
So in that particular one, that, and you don't know about this specific case, but in that particular situation, it could have been a WMA that maybe was too wet to be managed effectively. And this spring, it was really wet. I mean, we had a lot of water.
Record wet.
Yeah, this spring, a lot of guys, maybe it was scheduled to be burned this year, and you couldn't get in there to burn it. So once it started to dry up, the opportunity to put cattle in there for a disturbance by grazing became an option. And that may have been what happened here.
That could have been one case. It could have also been something along the lines of, we had a multi-year grazing program or plan set up for that particular unit. And that may be, put cattle on for a year, rest it for a year, put cattle back on for a year, or, put them in the southwest corner in 1 year and the northeast corner in the next year. Rotate them around. So, yeah, they may have been new, quote unquote, this year. But they may have been, and probably likely were part of a longer term management plan at that site.
Is that, if that happens on a specific WMA, I know a couple of the comments we got was, yeah, but it's not just 1 year. I've seen cows out here multiple years or whatever, or people fall back. It's a crutch they use. And then all of a sudden they're doing it all the time on these public lands. If they enter into some sort of grazing, conservation grazing type situation, how often, I mean, can they have them there every year? They just have to rotate them around the property? Or when you said every other year, is that something where they can come back every other year on the entire piece? Or does it differ per property?
It is literally going to be different for every property because none of our WMAs are identical to any other. And what we try to do is customize the grazing or the haying to the particular site and to the particular needs at that site. As a general rule of thumb, we like to hit things fairly lightly, still leave plenty of cover. However, there may be cases where we want to go in and really hammer a site. For instance, we may want to graze an area down really heavily if it's, for instance, dominated by brome. And what we're trying to do there is really impact that brome, really knock it back hard. And then we're going to come back in next year or the following year and seed that area down with a really diverse mix of native grasses and wildflowers. I've also seen cases where we came in, we or the Fish and Wildlife Service or the Nature Conservancy came in, hit an area pretty hard, specifically because we wanted to do a tree removal project on that site. And we didn't want to be missing all the little seedlings and saplings and things like that. And it just made it easier to get around. So for a brief period of time, come in, hit it pretty hard, which then makes it easier for us to do the ultimate management plan that we're working on, the tree removal, and then obviously, you know, pull the animals off really quickly. So again, every management plan is a little different because the site needs at every WMA are a little different.
And I know it can be frustrating as a hunter, especially if it was a piece that you really liked and spent a lot of time there, or maybe it was close to your home or something. And it can be frustrating when you go there to see that it's off limits. You know, it's not going to be an option this year for whatever the case may be. But when it comes, so when that situation happens, and maybe they're only using a quarter of the section or a quarter of the property or whatever the case may be, just a part of it, hunting is still allowed on that property, right? And then how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. And we always try to get the cattle off before the hunting season starts. There may be the never say never. There could be an occasion where they're out there later for, again, to meet some need. But yeah, we generally try to get them off so that, yeah, cattle aren't interfering with hunters, with dogs, etc.
Our guest right now is Greg Hoke with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. More with Greg when we come back. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Civic Media is hiring. We have an immediate opening for an administrative assistant manager. The job requires good computer skills, data entry, receptionist duties, manage our shopping show platform, assist company team members with day-to-day station and office operations, bookkeeping and accounting experience, attention to detail, and good communication skills. This position is full-time, Monday through Friday. We will train the successful candidate in all the radio technology and programs needed to do the job, offering a very competitive wage and benefits. If you're interested in joining a progressive company with room to grow and advance, please send your resume to darla.isham@civicmedia.us or drop it off at the radio station. Or you can mail it to Civic Media, Attention Darla Isham, Box 309, Park Falls, Wisconsin, 54552. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Adventure begins at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. 16 stages filled with sword fighting, fire breathing, music, magic, juggling, and more. Delicious food and drink fit for royalty. Live armor jousting, and our marketplace is a shopper's dream. 7 weekends from August 19th through October 1st. Get your discount tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Park and ride recommended or prepaid parking passes required. Huzzah! More information to plan your adventure at renaissancefest.com.
Join in. There's still time to walk or run this Saturday, September 9th, in the Color Run for Hope. at Elk Lake Park and Phillips, supporting two great community organizations. Northwoods Living Hope, a safe place right here in Phillips, Wisconsin, for women and children in need. And His House of Hope for men overcoming addiction. Pre-register today at northwoodslivinghope.com or hishouseofhopephillips.org. Or show up at 9 a.m. for registration, and race starts at 10 a.m. from Elk Lake Park in Phillips this Saturday. Donations are welcome and greatly appreciated by both organizations, helping to bring hope for men, women, and children in need in northern Wisconsin. For more info, contact Tammy at 715-305-4531 to race or donate.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Partly cloudy today with daytime highs approaching 72. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tonight, lows level off around 51, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers, highs level off around 62. Low 60s Monday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Turning cooler Tuesday with highs in the upper 50s. Chance for showers continues. Another look at the short range. High of 72 today. Lows level off around 51 tonight. We should top off around 62 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 42.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Our guest is Greg Hoke with the Minnesota DNR, talking about upland birds and other bird species around the state of Minnesota.
Well, I remember being at a prairie chicken event, and I think we were filming for Prairie Sportsman and running into you there. How are the prairie chickens looking nowadays? Have you been out there? Have you been around the chickens much lately?
I have not, yeah. These days I live about halfway between Cambridge and Mora. And I can't remember. We did publish our most recent prairie chicken and sharptail report not too long ago, and I can't remember what the numbers were. We're generally speaking holding steady. Year to year fluctuations, as with anything in wildlife, but somewhat steady in recent years. We're still well below. There it is. Still well below. Where we were even back in like the, 2005 to 2010 period, which is kind of when CRP was at its maximum, both in Minnesota and nationally.
Sure. Yeah. But that CRP, you can really watch the bird numbers, the populations just fluctuate with the numbers of CRP enrollment. You're over in that east central part. We closed the sharptail season over there. Have people been seeing more birds? Is that helping? Are they coming back, or is it going to be just maybe we're too far gone in that part of the state for sharpies?
Yeah, I don't know about sharpies, and the effects of closing the season, those always, it's going to take a couple of years before we see any effects, if we do see any. I can tell you the pheasant populations up in this area are through the roof. I was out driving around, actually doing a lot of racing last week, and there are broods of pheasants all over the place.
Oh, good.
In the winter, it's not unusual to see 40, 50, 100 pheasants just driving around. So it's an unknown. It's a bit of a secret, but there are a lot of prairie chickens over here in this kind of transition zone.
Oh, really? Prairie chickens?
Oh, really? I'm sorry. Pheasants.
Pheasants. Oh, okay.
lots of pheasants over here. I have not gotten up there, but I've heard Pine County is one of the new hot spots for pheasant hunting in recent years.
All the Pine County residents are just got mad at us.
Yeah. good.
No, that's great, honestly. And, Jared Wicklund from Pheasants Forever has been on a lot, and he's talked about that area. In fact, we filmed a pheasant hunt over there as well, just to kind of talk about the fact that you don't have to go to western Minnesota and southwest Minnesota to find birds. There are some other places to find pheasants around the state of Minnesota. It's a little different country. It's actually a really interesting part of the state, I think, there in that east central part of Minnesota. There's a lot of wildlife and some different habitat there, Greg.
Yeah, there's not the huge corn fields. You know, corn and soybean fields tend to be a fairly small. Lots of grazing, lots of small pastures, and then just lots of brush and wetlands and sloughs and cattails and there is a lot of wildlife in this part of the state.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. We don't get over there as often as we do, but every time we go over there, I'm always kind of surprised by something that we see. I remember we filmed a TV show on Grindstone. Was that the show we did? And we drove out there, and of course there were sandhill cranes. I think we saw pheasants. We saw all kinds of critters.
I don't know why you're looking at me.
Well, you were there.
I don't think I was.
Weren't you there?
I don't know.
It was me and Dylan. So, that's right. And your dad. Well, we were with your dad. That's why. Well,
that's not me. No, I don't care what people say how similar we look. It's not me. No. I wasn't there just because my dad was
well,
there.
Usually when we film with your dad, you're there. Well, that's why.
I wasn't.
I can't remember.
It was you're wrong.
Oh, my gosh. It was so hot. I think the water temperature on Grindstone that day was like 90 degrees or something. It was absolutely. We spent more time swimming than we did fishing that day. But my point is, driving over there that morning, we saw a lot of critters along the road, and for something that with that, you know, that close to the Twin Cities, that close to a major metropolitan area, to see that much wildlife was kind of cool. It was neat.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, you can be on the north side of the cities in about 45 minutes from this part of the world. So I've got woodcock galore. I've got rough grouse drumming right outside the bedroom window, and that's you can't cool. drive anywhere without seeing flocks of cranes and pheasants all over the roadside. So it's a fun place. It's a fun part of the state.
I won't make you answer this question. I won't put you on the spot about this, but we need to start looking at opening up a statewide sandhill crane season. I know that eastern population gets hunted in a number of states, and it's not going to make everybody happy and that lives in the Twin Cities, I'm sure. But I would like to see it. We're starting to see cranes out here from that. I'm assuming they're from the eastern population, but we're seeing them spread out here into western Minnesota, too. They're coming across the central part of the state. They're such cool birds. They're delicious. I think they're just fascinating. I've had a nesting pair the last couple of years right behind my house. I love the sound waking up like bow hunting in the fall, climbing up in the stand in the morning, and then hearing the echo of that crane call. So cool. So anyway, I won't make you go down that road, but
yeah,
I'm just going to throw.
And I appreciate that. Out of my area of expertise.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate you coming on and talking about all these other things that, you know, can get people's, heart rate up just a little bit when it comes to habitat and public lands and things like that. But let's talk real quick. We're gonna wrap things up. But first, let's talk. You have four books. You're an author. You have four books out there now, Greg?
Yeah. My first book was on prairie chickens. And then I did one on woodcock, wood ducks a couple years later. And then just last year, there you go. And just last year had a book on just the prairie in general. I haven't gotten you a copy of that. I will try to take care of that this winter.
I appreciate that. That's cool. And they're just such neat birds, really, when you think about them. I mean, woodcock, rough grouse, I've always joked that rough grouse are the unofficial state bird of Minnesota, especially when it comes to rough grouse hunters. But I feel like when the numbers have fluctuated a little bit and we had a few years of down numbers for rough grouse, every grouse hunter became a woodcock hunter. And I feel like the woodcock numbers have been doing well. And of course they're migrating through, but they're pretty neat. They're strange little birds. I was going to call them neat little birds, but they're kind of strange little birds, aren't they?
Well, and they're just like, they're just like our prairie grouse, our sharpies and our chickens. I know Tom Carney, who writes Upland Almanac, has called them two season birds. Cause they're just as, if not more entertaining in the spring. I know I usually have two, sometimes three woodcock sky dancing literally in my backyard.
Oh, cool.
The dog and I can take an evening walk and we'll hear another five, six, seven, just, you know, a half mile walk down the gravel road. And it's just insanely entertaining to sit out there and watch and listen to those guys in an April evening.
Well, and that, along the same lines, the watching prairie chickens on the booming grounds in the spring has definitely become one of my favorite things to do in the spring. I don't get to do it as often as I want, but the first time I did it up at Blue Stem in Glendon, like my head exploded sitting there watching these birds. It was so cool. It was so much fun to watch. And there was, you know, there was like a mink, I think, ran through the lek while we were there. There was deer walking by. You know, there you see everything when you're out there. But just seeing how those prairie chickens interact, and that one of the times we went, and I was with Brian Winter, and we saw the king of the lek, the one that had the center of the lek, had this big, he was just this big red patch on his chest, much redder and darker than all the other ones. And he just had this attitude to him. He was the king. And there was all these other males out there trying to attract all these females. And they wanted nothing to do with all the other ones. They wanted, what did we call him? We had a nickname for him. I can't remember what we called him now, but Copper, maybe that's what Brian called him. But he was neat, but at the same time, in the far back corner, there was one, he must have had a broken leg or something, and he was back there hopping around on one foot, trying to do his best dance he could, and we were all rooting for him. But I don't know, it's such a fascinating display, and of course, that spot in particular, there's always so many birds there, it's a neat one to go to. But man, those spring courtship displays, sharp tails, prairie chickens, they're just such neat displays to see.
Yep.
So
yeah, and there's I know I've so many questions. I can remember one morning I was out surveying. The chickens were right up against the fence line, and there was a red-tailed hawk sitting on the fence post just feet away, and nobody cared. And I also remember this was up at Hamden Slough National Wildlife Refuge. I was leading a birding tour with the Detroit Lakes Bird Festival. And literally 3 minutes before the bus tour got there, a peregrine falcon stooped on the lek. And I mean, you're supposed to be out there, you know, rooting for the prairie chickens, but that was pretty cool to see. He didn't get one, but it was pretty cool to watch.
Nature interacting, man. It's like watching the Discovery Channel in real life. I think it's cool.
Yep.
And I saw something. We were driving around scouting for doves the other day, or I was, I guess, and there was like four doves on a power line and a hawk sitting on the power pole like 3 feet away from them. just hanging out. It was it's always cool to see. But all right, Greg, where can people find your books if they want to purchase one?
They can just go to Amazon.com is probably the quickest spot, or they can go to the University of Iowa Press, buy them directly there.
Very good, Greg Hoke, DNR Prairie Habitat Supervisor. Good luck with everything this fall. Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the invite.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you missed any part of the show and want to listen to it again, or maybe hear an extended version of some of these interviews, you can download the podcast. Go to sportingjournalradio.com, or you can watch this show on YouTube or Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.
CQM, Park Falls, Wisconsin. The Park Falls Community Broadcasting Corporation. 98Q Country.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. More than 600 people are dead, at least 300 injured from a powerful earthquake that struck in Morocco's Atlas Mountains late last night. The BBC's Abigail Morsland has more.
The epicenter of the earthquake was in the Atlas Mountains, where many settlements are remote and hard to access. The nearest major city was Marrakesh, where frightened people rushed outside as the quake struck. Residents told the Reuters news agency that some buildings had collapsed in the city, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Video posted on social media shows buildings shaking, piles of rubble on the streets, and people walking through clouds of dust. Hospitals in Marrakesh are reported to be treating many of those injured.
Casualty figures are expected to rise as the search continues, especially in more remote areas. A special grand jury investigating efforts to overturn Georgia's 2020 presidential election results recommended indictments against a much larger list, including U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham.
We can't criminalize senators doing their job when they have a constitutional requirement to fulfill.
Senator Graham was interviewed on WYFF-TV. Tensions are high after the United Auto Workers Union rejected wage and benefit offers from all three